A question. How was copper wire invented? Answer. Two Aberdonians were fighting over a penny. Well, I got that from a taxi driver in Aberdeen. Thanks, Jimmy. So how do such stereotypes get started? Here's Doug Martin.
So the Scots are stereotypically miserly and dour. Accountants are stereotypically boring. Librarians are quiet. Journalists are teetotal. These were probably commonly shared stereotypes.
And where do those sorts of stereotypes come from?
Despite having been researched extensively for more than 50 years, we know much about stereotypes, but we don't really know how they form in the first place. And that's the key thing that we've become interested in. And we're interested in whether they potentially form via cumulative cultural transmission. So they potentially form unintentionally as information's passed from person to person.
And then keeps going and people like it and it kind of sticks.
We're not sure how necessarily stereotypes persist, but certainly just now we think that they might form originally and change over time as information changes itself as it's passed from person to person.
Why are you interested in that?
We're interested in it because stereotypes are fundamental to our social cognition. Stereotypes seem to be important in terms of simplifying the world around us. So we're always trying to understand our surroundings, understand other people, and in the absence of other information, so for instance, if you meet a stranger for the first time, stereotypes potentially provide you with some framework on which to build other information, even if it's only to demonstrate that the stereotype is actually incorrect.
So you can jump to conclusions for convenience?
So some people can jump to conclusions and other people would seek to disprove the stereotype.
By the way, is it true about Scotsmen?
Which aspect?
Miserly and dour.
I'm probably not the best position to answer that. So I would suggest not.
And what about the stereotypes in Aberdeen, where we are? Because is there any variation of Scotsmen throughout the country?
There's definitely lots of variation among different regions. Aberdeen is almost seen as being a super Scotsman, if you like, in that they seem to be, in a Scottish context, to be seen as being even more miserly and dour than the rest of the country.
Well, I'm rather surprised by that, because it's like the Saudi Arabia of Scotland. I mean, immensely rich, lots of oil.
Of course, those that have money generally keep it.
I see, that's how it works. Now, you actually mentioned another sort of stereotype, that is, boys are blue and girls are pink. Where did that come from?
So there's certainly a very strong stereotype in Western culture of the colour pink being associated with girls and the colour blue being associated with boys. We don't really know when it originally forms, but what we do know is that if you go back less than 100 years, there's actually evidence to suggest that the stereotype was reversed and that the colour pink was more strongly associated with boys and the colour blue was more strongly associated with girls. So clearly, not only can stereotypes form, but they can also change fairly radically and in that case, flip on its head.
And it might be going back again with pink being gay.
Who can tell? I think stereotypes are constantly changing, and that is, I think, why it's such an important and fascinating topic for us at the moment.
And you've actually systematically examined this using various artificial stereotypes to see how, if you like, the Chinese whisper, just to give another one, changes the way these things are viewed. What did you find?
Yes, so we found that if you give people a task whereby they're faced with lots of information about social targets they've never seen before, all of whom share some category-defining features, such as the colour of the targets or the shape of them. And what we find is that you can go from a system that's entirely random to begin with, but as you pass information from one person to the next, the system becomes simpler, it becomes more structured, and it becomes more easily learnable, until what you end up with is something which looks very much like a stereotype forming.
Does it form fairly quickly?
Yes, they form surprisingly quickly in these sort of lab-based studies. So within 5 or 6 or 7 generations of individuals, we see what look very much like stereotypes starting to form.
That's interesting. Did you come across an experiment done a while ago trying to work out whether you can actually prejudice people against blue eyes versus brown eyes? It really did have the most profound effect, almost as bad as calling people anti-Semitically Jewish. It was quite a famous experiment, wasn't it?
Yes, so absolutely. So it's a stark demonstration and quite a frightening one, really, of the effects of associating particular traits with social groups. So often we we potentially think of stereotypes as being benign, or we also associate them with racism or prejudice of any kind. But I think that was a great demonstration of how quickly stereotypes can potentially form, as can prejudices.
So have you been able to work out, and this is probably not something you want to keep quiet, how easy it would be for people wanting to manipulate a population to do so using this kind of knowledge?
So certainly those are the kind of things that we're interested in the lab at the moment. So we're running studies to see in what directions you can influence the formation of stereotypes, how easy it is to do this, and what kind of things actually influence stereotype formation and change in the first place.
By the way, who told you that journalists are teetotal?
I think it's a well-known societal stereotype, like them all.
And so we are. Doug Martin lectures in social cognition at the University of Aberdeen, where he spoke about stereotypes during the British Science Festival.